As I said, this morning is going to be slightly different, so I'm not just going to preach to you straight out like that. We're going to have a little bit of interactive, and we're going on a Jubilee theme, because I thought we might as well, seeing as everybody else is in the country, or most people, apart from Richard, of course, at the back, who's left the room in disgust, but that's life. But I was watching a lot of the stuff to do with the Queen this week on television. I was thinking, you know, I wouldn't swap. She might live in a palace and she might have all this wealth, but, you know, I wouldn't swap. Because you don't have a lot of life to yourself, do you? Let's be honest. I'm very happy with the life that I've got. But I might go back this afternoon and watch her come up the Thames and watch a little bit of the things that are going on. And I thought, to get in the swing of things, I need to get dressed in the right attire. But I'm not going to do that because I don't think it's appropriate for me to speak with the right attire on before you this morning. So I think, Tim, you come. Could you come? I'll get you a job. Because... And then maybe you could play for the rest of the service in what I put you on. But you see, the first thing I thought I would wear would definitely be my Union Jack vest. Def Leppard on it. Tim, would you put my lovely Union Jack vest on? Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Go on, give them a spin, because that is a very fine, fine vest. It is quite big. Sorry. That looks good, don't you? Don't you reckon that's good? Yeah, yeah. And of course, we need the red, white and blue scarf so you can wave it above your head, so you could wear that, Tim. You know, I was going to bring me Union Jack boxer shorts, but I thought I'm not going to get... So I left them at home, the Union Jack boxer shorts. But lastly, because the Queen looked... Do you know what other country she loves? Even probably more than England. Do you know what country? Scotland. So I would obviously have to wear my jockey hat like this. You know, So that's what I will be wearing this afternoon, watching television, with my boxer shorts on. Don't imagine that right now. Tim, would you like to go play for the rest of the service? All in right. That? There you go. There you go. Thank you. Big hand, Tim. Flying the flag. Oh, yeah. So that's what I'll be wearing later. If I can tear it off Tim, he might dash off in it. Okay, there you go. Now then, I have 10 questions to see... Yeah. To see what kind of knowledge you have of the Queen. So, the first question, okay, was where was the Queen born? Can we have the options, Michael? So where was the Queen born? Can anybody give me the answer? Royal Berkshire Hospital, the private Portland Hospital for Women and Children, 17 Bruton Street, Mayfair, Mother Grandmother's House, or Windsor Castle, where? C is the correct answer. Oh, well done, Marion. Okay, second question. Let's have the next one, Michael. How many brothers or sisters does the Queen have? One, two, three, or four? One. Yeah, please don't speak before I point. That's very naughty. That's terrible. Well done. One. Quite right, Eileen. Next one, Michael. Question number three. What was the first name of Queen Elizabeth's father? David.
George.
No. Laura. Albert. Correct. Well done, Albert. Well done. Okay, question four. Next one. How old was Queen Elizabeth when she fell in love with Philip? Isn't that nice? How old?
13.
13? Oh, Graham, straight in there. 13. She was 13 years old, she was. Question five, which country was Prince Philip born in? I put two L's. Prince Philip born in, was it A, Denmark, B, no, which one? Pardon?
Germany.
Germany, no.
Greece.
Please put your hand up, that's very rude. Greece it is, it's Phil the Greek, it is, okay. Next one. How old was Queen Elizabeth when she took to the throne? Answers on a postcard, please. 25 is correct. Well done. Did you learn that in your history classes in America? Okay, heard it here. And which, next question, which one of these is not Queen Elizabeth's children? Joe. No, that's her daughter. I can't accept... Ben, what's the answer? It is William. Well done. It is. It's very, very rude. You lost your first answer for that now. Right, okay. And then the next one. Which other monarch ruled longer than Queen Elizabeth? Which other monarch has ruled longer than Queen Elizabeth? Jacob. Excellent. Well done. Victoria the First. Well done. And then the next one. How many grandchildren does Queen Elizabeth have? David.
Eight.
Yes. Correct. Well done, young man. And this is for the children. What is the Queen's favourite breed of dog? Livy. It's a corgi. It is. Well done. Well, you are very knowledgeable. Well done, all of you. On the Queen. Even Richard knew something about the Queen. I'm impressed, Richard. Well done, sir. Well done. Now then, kings and queens are a mixed bag, aren't they? And through our history, we've had a real mixed bag of kings and queens. Some really weird ones. Not many good ones, apart from latterly. We've had a reasonable one. I think she's pretty good, really. But we have. Do you know how many kings and queens we've had in total? Anybody? Guess. 30, no, many, lots more than 30.
1,000?
Julia's closer with 30, but not 1,000, no.
60.
Very close. The answer is 66. 66 kings and queens, that's how many we've had. And some of them have had really weird names, okay? The first ones in the earliest Saxon days have got the most weird. Look at that. Egbert, Aethelwulf. Aethelbald, I thought you'd like that one, Gary. Aethelbald. I'm getting that way as well. That'll be naming me that. Aethelbald. Aethelbert and Aethelred. Very strange, aren't they? Very strange names. Have you got a name, middle name of one of them?
No.
No? And then the next ones, look at these here. Edmund, that's not too bad. Edred. Edwig. So he moved on from being bald and he's now got a wig. So that's progression. Edgar. And Aethelred the Second, the Unready, whatever that meant. Very weird names, very, very weird names indeed. But we've had good kings and bad kings, a real mixed bag. But you know, there's huge differences between different kings and queens, and there's massive differences between us and kings and queens, big differences. And I just thought one or two simple, you can move it on now, Michael, simple ones. You know, the Queen's incredibly wealthy, one of the most wealthy women in the world. She lives in a palace. Any of you live in a palace? No. All right. Anybody lives in a castle here? No. Timothy went to visit somebody last week, a lady in Scotland who lives in a castle. Amazing place. Absolutely amazing. They wouldn't invite me along, but they invited him. And oh, Esther went as well. It was quite amazing, wasn't it? A castle. But the Queen lives in palaces and castles. We don't. She's incredibly famous. Wherever she goes, everybody knows her. You know, if we walk down the street, no one gives a hoot, do they? But the Queen, everybody will want to see her. You look lovely, Tim, by the way. Really good. If you do get a bit hot, you may. Yes, you may. Yeah. Yeah. Is it itchy?
A little bit itchy, yeah.
Oh, dear, I'm sorry. It's them nits I had last week. It'll be all right. She's incredibly powerful. A lot more powerful in the old days. And certainly some of the Saudi kings are a lot more powerful than our Queen. If you argue with some of those guys, it's off with your head. It's not quite so bad nowadays in this country, but there's huge differences. But then there's similarities. The Queen gets tired, believe it or not. She gets tired, just like you and me. She can get poorly. If you're a horse rider, and we've got a few here, she falls off a horse just like we can fall off a horse. Similar. She's a human being. But there's one thing that the Queen has in common with you and me here, and that's that she's a Christian. She loves the Lord Jesus Christ. I do passionately believe that. And I think as she's got older, she'd become more overt about her faith. I don't know if you watched, we never used to watch it, to the disgust of my grandmother, the Queen's speech each year. She'd get up and go through to the lounge. Aren't you coming with us? No, we're going to stay and eat our Yorkshire puddings. You're disgraceful. Call yourself British. And she'd go and watch the Queen's speech. But this year in the Queen's speech, she shed some amazing words in her speech. I don't know if any of you saw it, but at the beginning, she says, "In the past year, my family and I have been inspired by the courage and hope we have seen in so many ways in Britain, in the Commonwealth and around the world. We've seen that it's in the hardship that we often find strength from our families. It's in adversity that that new friendships are sometimes forged, and it's in crisis that communities break down barriers and bind together to help one another. Families, friends and communities often find a source of courage rising up from within. Indeed, sadly, it seems that it is tragedy that often draws out the most and the best from the human spirit. And then she goes on to talk about going around the world and visiting different countries and some of the awful situations that she's seen, disasters with floods and so forth, and the mining villages in America. It was a terrific speech. But then towards the end of that speech, she says this. And I might as well read it to you because it's very good. The importance of family has, of course, come home to Prince Philip and me personally this year with the marriages of two of our grandchildren, each in their own way a celebration of the God-given love that binds a family together. For many, this Christmas will not be easy. With our armed forces deployed around the world, thousands of service families face Christmas without their loved ones at home. The bereaved and the lonely will find it especially hard. And as we all know, the world is going through difficult times. All this will affect our celebration of this great Christian festival. Finding hope in adversity is one of the themes of Christmas. Jesus was born into a world full of fear. The angels came to frighten shepherds with hope in their voices. Fear not, they urged. We bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. And then she says, although we are capable of great acts of kindness, history teaches us that we sometimes need saving from ourselves, from our recklessness and our greed. God sent into the world a unique person, neither a philosopher nor a general, important though they are, but a Saviour with the power to forgive. Isn't that tremendous? Forgiveness lies at the heart of the Christian faith. It can heal broken families, it can restore friendship, and it can reconcile divided communities. It is in forgiveness that we feel the power of God's love. In the last verse of this beautiful carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem, there's a prayer. O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend on us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. It is my prayer that on this Christmas day we might all find room in our lives for the message of the angels and for the love of God through Christ our Lord. I wish you a very happy Christmas. I think that's tremendous. To have a monarch do that. I'm not sure the next one will be quite so overt. But we should thank God that she was able to do that on television, and that's a great encouragement to us all. And I respect her very much for what she said in that speech. I respect her for doing that. And I respect her for being the Queen. I don't just respect her because she's been a Queen for 21,900 days. That's a long time, isn't it? The second longest monarch. Or because she's been on 113 overseas visits, keeping away from her family for many months on an end. Or because she's the patron of 600 charities, and Graham will have experienced this one. Or because she's given away 90,000 Christmas puddings to her staff members. Is that where you get Christmas puddings, Graham? Yeah? Yeah, every Christmas, 90,000 Christmas puddings she's given away. Or because she seems to be a nice person. I don't respect her just because she's been faithful in her service as being a queen. I respect her because she's a human being made in the image of God. Just to respect any of you and love any of you. I respect her because also she loves the same Saviour that I love. I respect her because of that. And I'm glad that she's become more open about her faith. That's right that she does that. But you know, away from the outside pomp and all the ceremony that goes along with the royal family, away from the royal scene, she's just like you and me. Do you remember my dad used to tell you that story? He's told you that story once or twice about at home when he said the Queen farts as well, you know. And she gave him a smack bottom and said, she does not, how dare you say those things. Well, she does actually. She told me. But she is, she's just like you and me. Graham told me when Graham used to work for the Queen before he came to Leeds, and when he was summoned to say goodbye, went to see her, didn't you, at Windsor? And she was there in the jeans and a t-shirt watching the horse racing on television. She's just like you and me, behind the scenes. She is. But you know, her royal name and her earthly riches actually mean nothing in the eternal sense. And in God's sense, in God's presence, next to God's majesty, they're not worth comparing. They're worthless, nothing. Because there is only one true king. There's only one true king. There's only one true monarch. I might respect her for who she is now, but that's all going to go. Because there's only one true monarch. Today, millions of people, including Chris and Bev Coles in London, are going to celebrate 60 years of the Queen's reign. Now, I'm not particularly a royalist. I'm a bit of a roundhead, I'm afraid, at heart. Old Oliver Cromwell is one of my heroes. But I don't wish any ill on her or the royal family, not at all. But the Queen's reign one day will come to an end. It will. Her reign will come to an end. Last night, or night before last, there was a programme hosted by Prince Charles. I don't know if any of you saw it. And at the end of that hour's programme, it showed the time, the moment when the Queen had heard that her father had passed away, and she was back on the boat, I assume, ready, coming back to Britain. And on her face was etched, I think, probably fear and trepidation, because it's dawning on her that she's going to be the next Queen of England. Also grieving about the loss of her father. You know, the same one day will happen to Charles or whoever follows the Queen. It will dawn on him or whoever, the Queen's gone and now the responsibility falls on my shoulders to be the next monarch. But the Queen's reign will come to an end and then she'll become another statistic and she'll become another name on the list. That's what she will become. Another name of the King and Queens of Britain and the Commonwealth. The Queen's influence will end and she'll hand the reins on to somebody else. The next king is definitely going to be different to her. His ideas, his ideals, his views on faith or faiths is going to be very different to hers. The next king might be good, he might be bad, we just don't know. But his ideals and his ideals will be different, different person. But you know, that's not the case for the king that we adore. Not at all. Our king will reign forever, and his ideals never change. They stay the same. Our king reigns today and he reigns over all the kings and all the queens of the earth, all of them, as that wonderful psalm proclaimed. In Revelation chapter 1 verse 5 it says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth." All of them sit under our king. No man, no woman has authority like our king. Because our king, one day, they will bow. Before our king, every knee shall bow. And every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. The other night on TV, there was a man who was a Republican. Vehement Republican, speaking quite rudely about the Queen and about the royals. You know, whether you want a king or not, doesn't matter what you think, we have one. We have one. And his name is Jesus Christ. Every knee will bow to him. And whether you're a Republican or a royalist, you're going to bow to that King, Jesus Christ, because he is the King of Kings. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus talks about his coming. In Matthew 24, verse 30 and onwards, he says, "At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn." They'll mourn because they'll realize, why haven't we followed this man? We'll rejoice, but they'll mourn. "They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory, and he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other. You know, every eye shall see him. Every person who has ever lived will bow to the returning King Jesus Christ." No matter what place you have in society today, whether you're a commoner like you or me, or whether you're a queen or a king, whoever you are, all will bow to him, all of them. There was another thing that struck me the other night when I watched that programme, and that was the weight of the crown. I've got a picture here of the Queen's crown. Isn't that a beautiful crown? Amazing crown. If you've ever seen that when you go and see the crown jewels, it's an amazing thing, glistening away. And it weighs nearly 2.5 kilos. It's quite a heavy weight to put on your head, isn't it? It's quite a weight. And that's the crown that the Queen wore at her coronation. Apparently, to practice, to get used to the weight of the crown, she'd wear it round the palace. And apparently, one day, she was bathing the kids whilst wearing that. I can imagine that on top of you, falling in the bath. That'd be really clever, wouldn't it? I wonder how many times they repaired it for doing stupid things like that. But anyway, she wore it around the house to get used to it. But it's quite a big weight for a little lady to have on her head all day. But you know, the crown at some point was taken off her head and the weight was lifted from the queen's head. And that must have been quite a relief to her. But let's compare it to this crown. Look at this crown. That's a bit of a different type of crown, isn't it? Not quite so shiny. Not quite as heavy physically, but an awful lot more heavy in different ways. The King of Kings was crowned with that crown. Those thorns on that crown cut into his head. That crown carries a burden and a responsibility far greater than any human royal crown. Our Queen had many responsibilities and has got many responsibilities that she's had throughout her 60-year reign. She's visited thousands of charities, done good work there. She's opened hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of buildings, and she's hosted hundreds of banquets and the like. But you know, our King carries the sins of the world upon his shoulders. That's a heavy burden. Our King gave up his place at his father's side so that he could come and live with us. He stepped out of his palace, which is far greater than any palace we could ever visit, so that he could share his love with us, so that he could share his riches with us. You know, none of us will ever be able to take any of the crown jewels home with us. You know, we hear this kind of stuff that we're told on television, that it all belongs to us, really. It's part of the state, so it belongs to you and me. Well, if I bobbed down to Mom and said, do you mind if I borrow the crown, because we've got a bit of a panto going on at church, you don't mind, do you? They'll say, push off. No, you can't. Or if the house was looking a bit sparse with some painting, we needed some paintings here or there, and I bobbed down and said, do you mind if I have a few of these? I'll just stick them in the back of the car. Say, naff off. They belong to me. No, push off. They don't. Those things, those riches are completely out of our reach. Totally out of our reach. But our King of Kings makes all his riches available for us. The glory of heaven can be ours. That's a glorious hope, isn't it? Our modern day monarchs are crowned in abbeys and minsters. Let's compare that to where our King was crowned. He was crowned in a court. And then he was crowned on Calvary's cross. His crown cost him his life. His crown brought him his death. But his crown secured his sovereign rule for eternity. We should love him for what he did for us. Modern day crowns are light compared to Jesus' heavy crown. Cumbersome crowns like the one that the Queen wore compared to Jesus' cruel crown of thorns, there's no comparison, is there? In 1 Timothy chapter 1, it says this. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honour and glory forever and ever. Amen. Our King has reigned a little longer than 60 years. He has. Even if the Queen goes on for another 10 years, he's reigned even longer than that. Our King has always reigned. And our King will always reign. Our King is immortal. Death couldn't stop him. The grave couldn't hold him. He is invisible, but he's alive. And he's all powerful. And he's all victorious. And he is completely glorious. He is the only monarch who is truly worthy of all our honour and all of our worship. The only true King who deserves all of our glory and all of our praise. And he is the only King who will reign forever and ever. The only one. That's what the angel said to Mary before Jesus was even born. She declared that that would be the case. In Luke chapter 1, you will be with child and give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. That's our King. His kingdom will never end. And that promise was secured on resurrection morning, on Easter morning. Jesus' place was secured forever. His reign was there pronounced forever. Revelation 11, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. That's a glorious hope for the believer. That's what we should trust, and that's what we know. Jesus, our King, will reign forever and ever. And listen to this. This is even more great. We will reign with him. We will reign with him. 2 Timothy, if we endure, we will also reign with him. I don't know what that's going to be like, but it's going to be better than anything I can imagine. It's going to be incredible. It's going to be amazing. We will reign with our precious King. Graham Kendrick sung, wrote this marvellous song. I want us to sing it now in this sermon here. So Tim's going to play for us. The words are up here. This is the chorus, and this is the verse. There's three verses, and he'll move into slot on. Do any of you know this song? Esther and me, and great, three of us. So we'll sing extra loud, but please sing along. It's a lovely song, but look at the words. And he shall reign forever, and we shall reign with him. What would you like to do?
Stand.
Let's stand together and sing this wonderful hymn then, okay? King, just one King, and that's a glorious thought. Jesus seated on his throne, but then we reign with him. That's an amazing thought. All earthly kings and queens will be no more, and then there'll be no segregation, there'll be no more commoners, there'll be no more royals, equality for all, but there will be only one King, one just King, a King who is always approachable, always with us, loving us, comforting us, reigning forever and forever and ever. And his name is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, your friend, your Saviour, your King, the one only King of Kings. And the best thing of all, you can know him. You can know him personally. But to close, I just want to echo what the Queen said in her speech, because it's my prayer that on this Sunday morning, we might all find room in our lives for the message of the angels and to make room for the love of God through Christ our Lord in our own lives too. Please enjoy the celebrations today, whatever you wear, wherever you are. But remember this, we celebrate a King whose reign is eternal. immortal, invisible. Our King is the one true God, the King whose love we can know forever and ever. And that is something to celebrate, is it not? And God bless to us his word this morning. We're going to stand again, and we're going to sing this wonderful song, All I Once Held Dear.